There, do you have any idea what you're listening to?
London Philharmonic?
It's Venus.
Huh?
Venus.
Why not? We bounced signals off the moon's surface. There's no reason that Venus shouldn't radiate impulses.
I don't mean the static. Can't you hear it, the other thing?
What other thing?
Listen to it, Paul. Listen to the voice.
Media Geek. This is your weekly look at the world of grassroots and independent media, as well as a critical examination of our media environment. My name is Paul Riis-Bendel, and I'm your host. On today's program, Uncertain Futures, taking a look at our new Federal Communications Commission commissioners. My guest will be Tim Huang. He is a researcher at the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard University and recently co-authored a short report taking a look at these brand new fresh faces at the FCC. You do want to stay tuned. So as we have been talking about here on the Media Geek Radio Show, we finally have a full five commissioners at the Federal Communications Commission, including a new chairman, Julius Genachowski, who has much more internet and dot-com experience than really any previous FCC commissioner, along with a new Democrat and a new Republican joining the stalwart members of the FCC, Robert McDowell, a Republican, and Michael Copps, a Democrat. But what does this all mean for lots of issues that are going to affect our future ability and right to communicate? The future freedom of the internet. And perhaps our cell phones and other communications devices. Some folks maybe look at it and say, hey, if you're more on the progressive end of the spectrum, the liberal end of the spectrum, you look and say, well, we've got a Democratic White House, a Democratic Congress, a Democratic FCC. Maybe there's not so much to worry about anymore. The Bush administration is out. Michael Powell is not the chairman. Kevin Martin is not the chairman anymore. Or, you know, maybe things aren't as clear as that. So that's the question I put to Tim Huang, a co-author of a new report called Uncertain Futures. The other person who authored the report is Eric Hokanson, who is based at the University of St. Andrews in St. Andrews, Scotland. As I mentioned before, Tim is a researcher at the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard University. He also serves as the chair of the Web Ecology Project, a research center attempting to better understand the system-wide flows of communities and cultures online. He's also been involved with the Creative Commons and Students for Free Culture. So I said, Tim, earlier today on the phone, why did you assemble this report?
There's two main reasons why we got into this project. The first one, of course, was simply that obviously this was sort of confirmation season. And a lot of the public discourse was dominated by the Supreme Court nomination, which, of course, is an incredibly important nomination. And one of the reasons we got into this report was to say, well, look, there's other nominations going on here that may have really long-ranging effects for other aspects of this country, right? Communication infrastructure being one of them. And particularly with the FCC, there had been sort of so little kind of public discussion about it, certainly in the mainstream media, but even online as well, that we felt it would be really good to put out a report just as a resource for people who are interested in it, and also to kind of raise a little bit of awareness of, hey, there's this other realm of activity that's going on that may have some real important implications for this country and for technology more generally. The second one that we were thinking a little bit about, which is that while there's obviously a lot of sort of commentators in the space, and there's certainly a lot of interest groups keeping an eye on the FCC, one of the funny things is there didn't seem to be A, an accessible resource, and B, something that really kind of took a look at the balances between various commissioners and sort of their breakdown across various issues, and doing that kind of in a clear way. So we decided to take a cut at that by saying, okay, let's go into it and say, on an issue-by-issue basis, what's it look like? What can we expect given the breakdown of positions among the various commissioners? And is there anything we have to be potentially worried about, concerned about, or even just keeping a careful eye on? And so those are really the two reasons that kind of got us into this thing in the first place.
And this is kind of a unique situation right now where we have a pretty fresh-faced FCC with really only two, we might call them old-timers, Robert McDowell, mm-hmm. who's a Republican, and
right.
Michael Copps, who is a Democrat, remaining with a new chairman and then two other commissioners. So maybe
right.
we can start with, you can tell me a little bit about our new chairman. It's someone we've been talking quite a bit about on the Media Geek Radio show, but I mean, until his name was first leaked as a possible chairman, was a virtual unknown.
Right. No, definitely. And what's interesting is the extent to which Jenikowski has kind of taken on the spirit of the internet. In a lot of ways, there's a lot of confidence and faith in him. There's a tweet from the director of Mozilla recently about, you know, coming from a meeting with him and feeling that finally our communications infrastructure is in good hands. And he's really come out of the gate in a way that I guess is supportive of a lot of the sort of progressive technology policies that you see emerge, particularly in online culture. You know, he's a strong net neutrality proponent. And he's even taken the extent for really small cosmetic things that are quite important. So the FCC, it's been remarked many times that it's ironic, right, because they're responsible for regulating technology, but their website looks like it comes out of, 1993 or something like that. And even taking the step of saying, okay, we're going to finally, get our website in order, have a good public-facing way for people to access this kind of information, and take on all the good social tools that have emerged in technology over in the past 5 years or so is a really big step. And so I think there's a lot of hope behind Jenikowski along a number of those issues. And certainly myself coming out of kind of a free culture sphere, I used to do a lot of work with students for free culture, it's heartening in a lot of ways to see that, in some sense, a complete unknown take on this kind of position where we can feel at least the chairman is, I guess, quote-unquote, on our side, I guess, in some sense.
And when you say on our side, can you give me some sort of specifics in terms of what you see as policy objectives or particular issues where you think that he is friendly to folks who are very concerned about our communications, especially internet infrastructure?
Sure, yeah. I think there's three big ones. I mean, one, of course, is the never-ending issue of net neutrality. And he's kind of gone forward in agreeing with sort of the White House's policy of being pro net neutrality and actually protecting it as a policy. So I think that's one thing. The second big thing, and this is something that's gladly shared actually by a number of the other commissioners that I think is quite exciting, is making a definite push to trying to make the internet more accessible. So taking affirmative shifts to try to make broadband access, for example, available in rural areas or sort of underserved areas. And the final one actually is kind of this firm stand against sort of fairness doctrine type policies, which kind of aim to regulate how much time certain types of content spend on certain communications platforms, and I think on all three counts, I think he's very strong.
And the fairness doctrine issue is one which has been resurrected, brought back as a zombie from the dead by by right wing radio and many Republicans. It seems as though it's a scare tactic to say that the new FCC may be interested in, you know, regulating Rush Limbaugh out of existence by reinstituting a equal time provision, which existed to some extent in a variety of forms for radio and television until the 1980s.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah, and I think, I think the position has been floated, used as a scare tactic. But what's very interesting is once you do the research in the partnership that we did to create the report, it seems to a certain extent there is consensus that that hopefully the zombie will be put to rest again. and I think that's a good thing in a lot of ways, despite kind of sort of the I hate to use the word fearmongering because it's very strong, but fearmongering around that kind of policy being implemented.
So we have two brand new commissioners recently confirmed, one Republican, one Democrat. Meredith Atwell Baker, who is the Republican, and Mignon Clyburn, who is a Democrat. And again, two people, not very well known in the telecom world, and even in D.C., even amongst people normally with their ear to the ground on these telecommunications issues. I guess we learn a little bit about them from their confirmation process when they go in front of the Senate, and there's a hearing, and they get asked questions. But what can you tell us about these two new commissioners? Maybe we'll start with Meredith Atwell Baker.
So Baker is an interesting case. There's a nuance, I guess, in the nomination hearings, which is, while it's true they're being asked a lot of questions, the problem, of course, is that that nominations hearings are also a place for people to kind of moderate their positions quite a bit. And so while we learned some things about the various new commissioners, we also seem to know a lot less, too, in some sense. And so I think at least starting with Baker, I think Baker is actually pretty interesting because it seems at least to date that the certain positions that she's voiced will have her line up quite nicely with the other Republicans on the commission. So she's definitely been in favor of promoting sort of free market competition and taking a relatively hands-off view towards regulating the market. But again, as you mentioned, right, she's a relative unknown. But what we know of her is that she's going to fairly line up pretty well with sort of the Republican, general Republican, more conservative approach with regards to regulating communication. There's certain lineups that she has with the Democrats that I think will push a lot of things forwards. One of them, as I mentioned previously, is Jenikowski's view towards trying to push greater expansion, development into sort of underserved or disadvantaged areas. So I guess that's my general take on Baker, is that while less is known of her, she's generally taken to be, and our research seems to indicate that she's probably going to line up well with sort of the other Republicans on the commission.
And Robert McDowell, the current senior Republican on the commission, he's always kind of been looked at as a bit of a moderate to begin with. He did not necessarily always fall in line with the previous chairman, Kevin Martin. And the two actually would actively clash on issues here and there. He seemed to be a little less strictly ideologically driven as strict free market. Didn't seem to come from the same mold as even the first chairman under President Bush, who took a very, very nearly strict free market, so-called free market line. Do you think that Meredith Atwell Baker is similar in the McDowell mold, in which she certainly maybe is less inclined to regulate ownership and less inclined to regulate towards net neutrality, but maybe more moderate in that and maybe more willing to work together and to compromise with her fellow Democrat commissioners? Do you see anything there?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that we don't mention in the report, which I still find pretty interesting, is the extent to which that possibility definitely seems to be open. I think, you know, now that Martin is gone, to some extent, I think the possibility of compromise is very sort of high on the commission. And I think it will resolve very much by a case-to-case basis, which is what we found to actually be one of the serious difficulties in trying to build a kind of calculus around how people will break apart across various issues. But I think in general, I think seeing her in the McDowell mode is probably a safe one. Though, as you mentioned again, that she has a lot of time to kind of prove herself one way or another, though she'll probably be more hesitant than sort of Jenikowski on issues of net neutrality or otherwise.
And then we have our new Democrat, Mignon Clyburn, potentially the person who is the greatest mystery on the Federal Communications Commission, daughter of a longtime representative from South Carolina, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Herself having been in a regulatory role in that same state.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, you know, a lot of folks wondering, where is she going to fall on a lot of these more progressive issues like network neutrality, especially since it seems as though she's had some fairly tight ties with industry, with utilities, and her father, indeed, having voted against a network neutrality resolution to be added to a bill in the House. So what have you found?
Right. So in many ways, the report puts Clyburn at the center of this issue. Because if you think McDowell and Baker are going to be a little bit more conservative on the issues, and you know, Copps and Jenikowski are going to fall on the other side, Clyburn's a real mystery because even less is known about her than Baker. Baker has kind of a track record that you can say, oh, well, we can kind of extrapolate out she's kind of going to be like this on the issues. But Clyburn really, it's a mystery, and there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of public information available. And so there's been a lot of worries around it. As you mentioned, there's been some financial concerns with, her father is very tied and tight with certain interests. She's been very close with the utilities in the time that she served in South Carolina. Verizon and a number of other large companies have kind of been involved in her circle. And this has taken a lot of people to speculate and worry about whether or not she's going to be a swing vote that ends up ironically pushing some of the FCC decisions towards a more conservative or so-called conservative slant with regards to regulating, consolidation, and a number of other issues. I think the approach that we take, though, is that there's two things. One of them is that this isn't necessarily a call to go out and say the sky is falling and the FCC will become this sort of conservative thorn in the Obama administration's side, right? I think the more mature approach and the one that we kind of discuss a little bit about in the paper is to say that she's definitely the one to watch. And in many ways, she has yet to kind of prove herself on decisions, though her initial few decisions will probably be very key in trying to figure out what else is going to go on. In the general sort of span of the commission over the next sort of 5 years or so, and so I think the really interesting thing with Clyburn is precisely that, which is a matter of we don't necessarily know a whole lot about her. Her statements at the nomination hearings wasn't particularly clear as to how certain issues would manifest themselves. But she's in there, someone said to me actually. So at the Berkman Center, Steve Schultz does a lot of analysis on broadband, and he said to me something that I think was a pretty good take on it, which is, well, at least it's better to have someone who we don't know anything about than someone who we know is necessarily against us, I guess, in the sense of sort of neutrality, consolidation, access to poor areas, and everything like that. So I think that's a good take on it in a lot of ways, and I think she's definitely a key figure to watch, especially as the FCC rolls out and starts getting really into motion in the next few months.
Yeah, broadband rollout, I think, obviously is going to be one of the biggest issues in front of the FCC, and in addition to network neutrality. But it seems to me, fairly unlikely that President Obama would have nominated somebody to the FCC without having his own research about, you know, and obviously I hope having talked to her, at least having his someone in his administration talk to her and sussing out her position on things like network neutrality, which President Obama featured relatively prominently in his campaign.
Right, right. I think that's fair, right? So, I also think that there's some point at which nominations are a strange kind of beast. On one hand, you want to nominate as a sort of a person in the position to nominate someone. You do want to necessarily nominate someone that you think follows your positions, but it is also balanced out, I think, by other political considerations. And a number of bloggers have kind of pointed to this. It's been speculated. There's no definitive evidence either way, which is kind of interesting. But which is to say, Clyburn's father was actually an early supporter of Obama. And so there's some extent to which some people have speculated that some of this might have been politically driven as well. And an attempt to kind of balance this, make a balance between supporting political allies, but also nominating someone that could kind of be reasonably expected to potentially fall on the Obama administration's side. So it's unclear. It's unclear in a lot of ways. Though no doubt, I'm sure the Obama administration did tons of research in making these choices.
And you mentioned early on how Chairman Jenikowski is seems to be making a push to modernize the FCC, especially with regard to its public face and its technology. And we've seen that just in the last week with the FCC creating a blog now and starting a Twitter account. And it seems as though these are things which will also be fairly uncontroversial, I think, amongst his fellow commissioners. Indeed, Robert McDowell, the senior Republican, has himself made quite a bit of noise about reforming the FCC and making it more responsive and as well making sure that it is not just more responsive, but is actually more transparent because, in fact, that became a big issue during the previous administration under Kevin Martin. And it seemed as though Robert McDowell, even though he was a Republican, had his issues with his own chairman with regard to issues of transparency. Do you see that perhaps that is going to be something which all five commissioners are going to be able to find some areas of commonality around, even if there are differences on the details and the approach?
I mean, I think that's right. I think the transparency element of it and just getting the FCC reformed in some sense with regards to its public face, its interaction with the rest of, you know, the world. I think in some sense is a good one. I mean, there's a lot of controversy about where the FCC will go, but one thing that everybody seems agreed on from the people who were asking questions during the nomination hearings to the commissioners themselves and all the way up to the White House, right, has been the FCC needs to change in a lot of ways and it needs to move with the times. And it definitely needs to reform itself in order to be a body that continues to be relevant in a lot of ways.
But it doesn't look like any of the new commissioners, most specifically the Republicans, are interested in obsoleting the agency. Because certainly we hear that rhetoric every so often that the FCC just needs to go away.
Right, right. And it's a position that's been forwarded by a number of people. I mean, Larry Lessig being one notable example of someone arguing for the FCC's elimination. At this point, I don't think anyone, at least in the commission, is seriously considering that, at least from our research. And I think they're agreed that it's important to make the attempt to find a way for it to be relevant. I think that's something that everybody wants to push for sort of going forward, even in the midst of kind of some claims coming out of a number of sectors that, you know, perhaps the FCC is outdated. Maybe we don't need it anymore.
So where next do you see your research interest in terms of do you plan to continue to focus on the FCC or focus on some of the issues which you bring to the fore in this report, like network neutrality, like broadband build out? Are you going to continue to try to put together these reports and release them out to the public?
Yeah, I think the Pelican Group is definitely going to move forwards. We're definitely going to have more publications into the future. I think we're going to continue monitoring the FCC situation, if not only because it seems relevant going forwards and definitely is within our research interest. We've also been thinking a little bit about terms of service, doing research about kind of the evolving face of terms of service and really what the policies might be policies might be useful going forwards, particularly as, you know, in the face of things like the Facebook scare that happened a number of months ago. It seems necessary that there may be a point at which we have to reform the terms of service system and the kind of legalese that goes in once you join an online community. And so one of the things we've been thinking about and throwing around is potentially releasing a policy report on that.
In terms of service, you're talking about the contract that essentially you agree to by using, as you mentioned, Facebook or even Google Documents, Gmail, or any number of online services, but where the terms of which are often in fine print and, as you said, legalese and are not negotiable.
Right, absolutely. And I think that's something that at least we kind of grind against. I think the transparency of terms of service is going to become increasingly important as people start keeping more and more information on a cloud service. I think that's extremely significant kind of going forwards. I think we want to find ways of making that more transparent on one level, but also more free on another level. Trying to be a proponent of data portability, data interoperability is an important thing to start thinking about, particularly in the midst of people starting to move more documents and other things, and sort of the rise of EPCs as creating more space for people to keep all their content and all the stuff they create online.
Well, I look forward to seeing that research and learning more about this in a way which I think it's helpful to move forward the public conversation as well as, I think, the defense of our rights out there in cyberspace. Tim, thank you very much for putting together this report and taking some time to speak with me.
Definitely. Thank you. And definitely looking forward to being in touch in the future.
And that was Tim Huang. He's a researcher at the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard University and co-author, along with Eric Hokanson, of this report that we were discussing, Uncertain Futures, an analysis of the newest members of the Federal Communications Commission. And they put this together as part of the Pelican Group, a private research partnership based in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where Tim is the program manager. And Tim is also a blogger over at brosifstalin.com. And that brings to a close another edition of Media Geek. I'll be back in 1 week with more news and views of our media environment. In the meantime, check out Media Geek online. MediaGeek.net is the home of the Media Geek blog. The radio show is at radio.mediageek.net. And the Twitter feed is twitter.com/MediaGeek. Get missives about our media environment. Find out what's coming up on the show and answer questions. To keep the dialogue going, I want your comments. What do you think? Tweet back at twitter.com/MediaGeek or send the old-fashioned email. Paul@MediaGeek.net. Media Geek is produced live at WNUR-FM in Evanston in Chicago, Illinois, at 89.3 on the campus of Northwestern University, and is heard on great stations around North America like WTND in Macomb, Illinois, WVEW in Brattleboro, Vermont, and CKDU in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Thanks so much for tuning in.